reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 6, text 61. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. One second. Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Okay, we said that. Text 61, chapter 6. Kateya jaditam Krishna sakre goshtim kayaptitat katvap Sangha Sangatya Raksha Tatvaya Jivanam. I anxiously requested, Krishna, please find some excuse to go to your cowherd village just once and save the lives of the people there. Commentary: the cowherd community was made up of Krishna's own people, with whom he had enjoyed the pleasures of his childhood. Now that they were drowning in an ocean of misery, he surely ought to be willing to visit Raja once to save them. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Silakaya Taksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vairagya Yudbhakti Visham Kayatnai Apayama Manabipsamandham Kapambuhiya Paradhuka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasyami Vansha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the house of the Raval family. Yesterday, I spent the day in the Bhakti Center for their 12-hour kirtan, and then came here late at night, about 1 o'clock. Wonderful remembrance of Iyendra Prabhu. And I did feel some solace. They asked me to speak towards the evening. And the first thing I said is, one, I didn't come there to speak. That wasn't my purpose. My purpose was to honor Sripad Iyendra Prabhu by pleasing him. And I remember in Vrindavan, he would become very happy when I would come to the kirtan in the evening, especially that I was his godbrother, quote, senior Vaishnava. I remember one time I brought Tamal Krishnamaraj there, and Tamal Krishnamaraj was enjoying the kirtan, how much Iyendra Prabhu was pleased. That was my purpose, but Gauravani requested me many, many times to speak every time I come there. So I told the audience I didn't want to become the Chankazi. Chankazi means to stop the kirtan. So I spoke briefly, and I mentioned something that Akinchana Krishna said to me when I called him up. Of course, he's devastated in that kind of separation. Ayendra, who was so much part of his life, he said that Ayendra told him that when Vishnu John left, he thought that things would never be the same. And then Ayendra looked at him and said, and they were never the same. And Akinchana said, it'll never be the same without Ayendra. But the solace I try to give the devotees is that when someone's a very, very powerful person, he transfers his mood. Shisha or disciple means one who takes the mood of his guru. And we've seen that in Prabhupada's time. Just thinking Jayananda Prabhu. I can think of many wonderful devotees who took his mood. We had one bhakti leader in Vrindavan. He used to serve Jayananda and the Jagannath deities in San Francisco called Kritakarma. And made so many, so many devotees. But he had that humble service attitude. And Sridhar Swami, our Sridhar Swami, used to travel with Jayananda. So you could see a person... his legacy is left if he's really powerful and he's really pure by his followers who fill that void by sharing the same thing they receive. And I was commenting on that relationship to Andrew Prabhu because his inspiration in Parampara through Prabhupada comes through Vishnu John. So we can see, although it was never the same, the mood manifested in another way. And not only with one person, but also Indradyumna Swami was inspired in Kirtan Parampara and approached the Krishna consciousness from Prabhupada through Vishnu John and Dina Bandhu was inspired in kirtan and his mood of spontaneous devotion from Srila Prabhupada in line of his association with Vishnu John. So I saw that yesterday, too. I mean, the quality of the kirtans, the depth of the kirtans, who follow that mood of Shudanam, pure kirtan. Ananta told me he was leading, and surprisingly, there were more non-devotees than devotees. I just was amazed how many, right after they serve prasadam in the afternoon, 3 o'clock Gauravani, then 4 o'clock Ananta. When Ananta looked up, he looked out and he saw so many. I was surprised. I mean, how many young non-devotees came? And he said he felt very happy, but then he became wary because... he thought I could say I should try to enliven them, and he felt in his heart I cannot do anything. Only the holy name can do something. And that mood of pure kirtan, kirtan that is done for the pleasure of Krishna, and that's the kirtan that has potency. I remember Akinchana Krishna, he went to Saranagati, and it was almost like a famous kirtan. Somehow they had a japa retreat, and then they met at Jamuna's house in Sharanagati, and he led kirtan. And Mahatma was there, my godmother, and he said Jamuna was in ecstasy. She hadn't heard this melody, and she was just so happy. So she really developed a fondness for him and his kirtans. So I was in Vrindavan, and when Jamuna was in Vrindavan, and I was there when a Kinchana Krishna came for one of the evening kirtans. And the first thing she said, she looked at him and she said, "Don't become an entertainer." Because pure kirtan is for Krishna. It's not for oneself. And that has so much potency. And that kind of relates to what we're discussing today. What the consciousness of the pure soul is in immortality. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya life force, Charita character, Amrita immortality. What is the character of the life force in immortality? What is the character of the life force? And the character is, it's nothing about oneself. It's like the hand is not about itself. The hand is about the body. So the soul is not about itself. The soul is about Krishna. And the pleasure of Krishna. And the sense of love. Because that's what love means. Love is about others. That's the consciousness of one with devotion. And that's why we say, in one sense, there's no pure love in the material world. Just because there's some tinge, because an embodied soul is about themselves. So there's some tinge. And the concept, the conception is, and then the spiritual world, where by definition one is free of egotistical considerations. That's not the focus. That's not the consciousness of one. The consciousness of one is for others, for Krishna. And that's purity of heart. And those are the people we ourselves admire. We admire those people who are selfless. We admire those people who are pure. We admire those people who are about others. Even if we personally meditate right now on those devotees who we admire. On those persons we admire, there's always someone else that's at the center of their lives. And the people that we have difficulty with are the people who only think of themselves as the center. I always use the example subject-object. They see themselves as a subject and everyone else is object. And that consciousness extends to out-and-outright demon that, for their desires, they will even violate the rights of another. They will even kill another. Sometimes there's stories of love trysts, and someone will even kill their wife, or the wife will kill their husband because they're in love. What love? They're in the consciousness of myself. What is good for me? That's why the bhakti process is difficult, even though even a child can do it, because it entails this type of change of consciousness. It entails this type of change of consciousness. You have to surrender. You have to surrender to Krishna. It's tough. You have to surrender to Guru. It's tough. It's tough. That's the entrance to the spiritual world. Surrender is opening the door. Then when you walk through it, that's bhakti. So we're seeing that in the devotees in Narada Muni's travel in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And We're seeing it now as he enters Dwarka, where the force of, and the selflessness of that love seems to even be heightened in the paradoxical conception of perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So Narada on his search is looking for Uddhava, finds him at the side of Krishna in his palace. Some of the key associates like Rohini, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Uddhava, Balaram, they're outside Krishna's door. Krishna's on the porch of his palace, his cloth covered over his head, sobbing. And Narada comes in looking for Uddhava and points to him as the devotee he's seeking for association. Sadhu Sangha, this is also the tragedy of Ayantra. Sadhu Sangha is rare, because real Sadhu Sangha means more advanced, like-minded, and relationship. So Andrew, in his own unique way, was kind of an accessible person. And like-minded, there's something about someone who's, it's not an absolute principle, but I know you call it a rebel, but is not in the government. Something accessible where the common man could exchange and feel some relationship, even sitting in that kirtan. More advanced, really someone who has just given his life to Krishna. I know one devotee I know, a very good devotee, and, you know, married person. And he turned to me the other day and said, this thing with Ayendra really affected me. And I didn't know that Ayendra was really that much of an inspiration to that degree. But he said, since Ayendra passed, he said, I pulled out the cable on my cable TV. Anyway, point is that Sangha of advanced devotees, those who've given their lives to Krishna, that's our hope for change. Their association, the infection of their heart can affect us. And they can give us love because they have it in their heart. They can give us Krishna because Krishna is there. At the end of the function yesterday, Gauravani sung, Oh, hey, Vaishnava Thakur. I'm running after you. Krishna is yours. And if I'm running after you, shouting, Krishna, Krishna. So Narada is Krishna, 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 he says. And Uddhava, when he hears the glorification, of course, he just, I'm not a devotee. I saw the gopis. I'm not a devotee. I'm not a devotee. And Rohini begins to spontaneously speak, because this is what their mind is. It's their feelings and attachments in relationship to Krishna. And when you have devotion and love for someone, you can't stop talking about them. Whether it's appropriate or inappropriate, you can't. That's why so many people in infatuation and love, although sometimes it's questionable really what is that love, but whatever the infatuation is, even intelligent big people, they always get caught. they get caught because they're texting something or there's email. I mean, I hear it all the time from people who say, oh, my wife or my husband cheated on me. You know, it's just, how can they make such a foolish mistake? Because you can't stop. It supersedes your intelligence. I mean, that's basically our problem, is we have impulses, we have desires, some scars that are so strong that they supersede what we know is best. So Rohini, naturally, love for Krishna, that was her samskara, that was her mind. She couldn't stop, and she began to lament for these residents of Vrindavan. And we get this viewpoint in the Brihadbhagavatamrita of, you know, in one sense, shed the stories, shed the look at things internally. I remember yesterday when we were talking about Indra Prabhu, I think last Wednesday or last Sunday, I like Rati Krishna's comment because people were confused naturally about how Indra died. So I like his comment. He said, but we should look, what is the internal story? Interesting, isn't it? What is the internal story? We can surmise from his life what it was. Too often we look and we try to judge how Krishna deals with us by the external story, or how he deals with someone else by the external story. What is the internal story? Is that difficulty humbling that person? Is that difficulty bringing that person closer to Krishna? That's the real story of Krishna's mercy. And that's the story of Brihadbhagavatamrita and what we're going here and why there's going to be such extensive discussion. Because Krishna is, the discussion at hand is why, if Krishna is Krishna, if Krishna is God, if Krishna is the Supreme Person, what kind of heart does he have to neglect the residents of Vrindavan who are near death by separation, as Raghunath Das Goswami, Tulsi Manjari, Upam Bhakti Manjari, Raghunath Das Goswami's eternal, he's praying, please, with the red lack of your lotus feet, dear Sri Radha, cure this servant who is dying of the snake bite of separation from you. So this discussion is really going to be, you know, what is Krishna doing here? Why is he not visiting Braj to save the residents of Vrindavan? So Brihadbhagavatamrita says, look at it from the internal story. And the discussion between these residents reveal the internal story. There's a soul, a particle of consciousness, of the Supreme Consciousness, who is exploding to the highest degree of love by the prema in their hearts, which is made forceful by the embankments of both union with Krishna and separation from Krishna. And that's what Rohini is describing. What is it? She's criticizing Krishna, but actually, in one sense, she's glorifying Krishna, because Krishna is not coming back, but she's describing what that is doing to their hearts. What that is doing to the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. The tears of Mother Yasoda will make a stone melt. What to speak of the gopis whose bodies are like corpses? And then Rukmini defends. No, no, Krishna is not cold-hearted. No, no. It is, I'm sleeping next to him, and all of a sudden, Krishna with his hands puts them to the mouth, and he's like blowing the flute, and then he's calling his cows. Shukla Humbo. That means I am here in Brajavasi. Calls his cows. Shukla Ratta Humbo. He takes attendance with his money mala, his jeweled mala. He's taking attendance. Amazing. His attendants, he's calling the cows. He's speaking to his mother. So that's the internal story of Krishna. It's an incredible soft heart of love. Of course, the mystery why he's not coming back. Because it's his internal story. It's not just mythological. Or even a bad form, really. Yes, the leelas in the pastimes happen, but what's the internal story? I remember staying at a friend's house, and he was a disciple of one of the most learned scholars in Vrindavan. And he had about 70, 80 pages of transcript translated from the Hindi or the Bengali, whatever it was, to the English. So some people asked him. He's very conservative on a certain level when it came to higher topics, even more conservative than Prabhupada. He doesn't even say Krishna. He says Bhagavan or Ishvara. Even more conservative. If you look at it, a spectrum, he would be on more conservative. And then there would be people that perhaps were more liberal than Prabhupada. So they asked him about this Manjari Bhav, the young, just before maturity, or budding maturity, or before maturity, young Manjaris, which seems to be the predominant Vastu substance of the perfection of the Charyas in our line. They ask them, and they're so pure that they can even insist Radha and Krishna in the kunjas where Lalita, they have to stay outside. It would ruin the, you know, another lady around, would ruin the intimacy, but they're so pure that they're even there, and they're so selfless. So, in our line, there's different meditations and different ways of approaching Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotion, where people think of these things in detail. And the Leela, Astika Leela Smara, and the Eightfold Daily Pastimes of Krishna, they meditate on them. And meditation means you have to have something to meditate. So they study and they learn. They know the birds and the different types of seasons and the flowers and the fragrance and the leelas and the pastimes and the moods. What they are, not just when they read the pastimes, they're not just looking at a visual, but they're getting into the mind. What are the moods of the devotees that they're following? What are they actually thinking? Because that is what I want to have. So they asked him about, what about Manjari Bhav? And he's very conservative. He said, it's a Bhav. He said, it's not about young girls. It's a Bhav. It's a selfless service. So we see when Rohini's describing those devotees in Vrindavan and their separation, they don't mind. They don't mind being in Vrindavan when there are demons threatening them every day. They only want the pleasure of Krishna. It reminds me when I was in Croatia I know somehow or other there was a temple there. Sarajevo is the capital of Bosnia, and it's supposed to be an incredible place. It's where the in Europe where the East meets the West, and somehow also is even a progressive capital too of music. But you know, sometimes it's where East meets West. It's like a very ancient city, and it's in a valley. And during the war, I think naturally the GBC or something, or they gave them to some of the devotees left. Most of the devotees left. So there were two ladies. One was only, I think, 17 or 18. Another lady a little bit older. And I know them both very, very well. I know them both very, very well. And they stayed and they manned the temple. And the whole place was under siege from the Serbians. And, you know, there were like 3 million bombs, you know. And somehow, I don't know how it happened, but, you know, 4 or 5 years under siege. And there was a tunnel dug underneath the mountain, and that was the only way that supplies and water was able even to get in. So you didn't know if you're going to take a bath or. But and then there was a god brother of mine, and I remember he used to do. This is a little bit off track, but it'll get to a point, and it'll get to a relevant point. A god brother of mine, and he used to worship the deities in Germany. His name was Astarata. And he was considered like a Sachinandana Swami, a Varsanamar, a Jaradanath Swami, you know, something. People respect him as extremely spiritual. And he would do these Kartik vratas. And one, I forgot, he did a vow of silence, he read the whole book. And one time, he told me about his vrata. I said, well, you know, I said something about, why don't you just go preach or something, or something. And the next year or the following year, his Kartik Vrata was to preach in Sarajevo. And the devotees still remember him because when everyone was trying to get out, he came in for the whole month of Kartik. He snuck in the country. 3 million bombs pouring in on that city. And then, you know, when I went to the Kirtan retreat, I met this he's an associate with the devotees, and he's always helped the devotees, but he played guitar with Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin. Very nice person, very nice gentleman. And he was also there telling me. And the, you know, the devotees, somehow they were able to distribute prasadam. Beautiful thing for others. Beautiful thing for others, despite danger. Two ladies, just amazing, 4 or 5 years, separated from their parents. They didn't know if they were alive or dead. Very moving story. But the sacrifice for others. So the relationship is, that's how Rohini is describing them. They're under siege by the demons. But they want to be where Krishna is. And they want to serve Krishna, the internal consciousness. And then Rukmini says, well, no, Krishna was not forgetting them. He was always remembering them. And Satyabhama says, not just during the night, but even during the day. And then Balaram has to support his mother. As his mother saying Krishna was forgetting, he said, oh yes, yeah, Krishna was forgetting. He was forgetting. But I can attest, Balaram says, to the residents of I tried to pacify them. We see that in the Bhagavatam towards the end of the 10th canto. We get a glimpse again into Vrindavan as the residents are suffering, and Balaram tries to pacify them by instructions and sporting activities. And then he promised. I'll come back. But he had to force his way out. And then today's verse, it's Balaram pleading to Krishna, just once, visit the village. 62. Kata smiti mukhe bhute vidayam cha natadvisam manasasya cha bhavasya bhavet sakshi priyojanam. From his mouth he said, certainly I shall go. In his heart he thought otherwise. Indeed, the truth about a person's mind can be known from how he acts. Commentary, speaking one way while acting in another, is a proof that one intends to deceive. So Krishna said, yes, I shall go. But he didn't go. So what's the truth? The person's mind or the person's words? You mean, the person's words or the person's actions? What is the truth? We see that. Sometimes we're disappointed that people say things and they do the opposite. So what do we accept as the truth? What they told us or what they do? Si parikshaduvacha idam makarnya bhagavan utaya shayanadvitam priya prema paradino rudhan uchar abhirgata. Richard said, hearing this, the personality of Godhead, who is ruled by the love of those dear to him, suddenly got up from his bed and came outside, loudly weeping. So actually the fact is, he may have not gone back. That may be difficult to understand, but now we're seeing that he's weeping. There must be something deeper here why he's not going back. Because those devotees have gripped his heart. It's such a nice way to understand the absolute reality. As a person who reciprocates, and if we want the absolute truth, we have to have a relationship. And the relationship has to be of love. When someone gives something to you, gives themselves to you, you'll do anything. You can't just rule by law. It will fail, ultimately. You have to rule by service. You may have to institute and protect law. But if people don't love you, it's very hard to control them. It's very, very hard to control them. It's very hard to get them. So Krishna is a person. If we give ourselves to him, he reciprocates. I love Prabhupada saying, Krishna doesn't have the defect of impersonality. Krishna, so that's really our process. Our process is to give ourselves to God. And he will reciprocate with us. It's such a nice process. It's the process of the heart. We do practices. We do practice to change the heart. Therefore, we do our practices with heart. Not just mechanically. Bhakti sanjayate bhakti. Bhakti comes from bhakti. So, we're seeing that Krishna is affected. How can he not be affected? There must be something deeper. he's deeply affected by the love of the residents of Vrindavan. We have to change our hearts. We have to... And we see, again, I mean, I enters in most, a lot of our minds, how he gave himself, what Krishna must have felt for someone who gave his whole life to service and to calling out and getting others to petition. So now we're seeing Krishna's heart. From his fully blossoming lotus eyes rained a flood of tears. With a choking voice, tormented by compassion for others, he spoke as follows. Commentary. An inferior person cares only for his own welfare, whereas a virtuous person thinks about padanugraha, compassionate help for others. Krishna's paranugraha is unlimited. Taking the word para in the sense of enemies, we can understand that he is compassionate even to those who hate him. Certainly he would not neglect his devotees. So the exalted person is for others. That's why the first time we see Krishna on the battle of Kurukshetra is in the chariot, driving the chariot of Arjuna. Is he superior? Because he serves. And service means you take a subordinate position. So he's superior. He loves his devotees. And again, his not being in Vrindavan is only for their internal life, which he's there fully with them. So it's a very beautiful thing, and by reading these type of things, it's supposed to inspire us in a that mood. And that's the only way that mood is going to come, by having an inkling of desire for it and being in the presence of those who have it and hearing about it. From books like Brihad Bhagavatamrita, spoken by people who have it. So, that's why it has been inspiring to remember Ayendra Prabhu. And hopefully it invokes change in our heart. Are there any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Hanan.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's a little bit complicated because I'm not sure exactly how to ask it, but some years ago in Israel was a really big debate between two very important people, and it was about where God was during the Holocaust. And
yeah.
One of them was he was actually the high court judge in Israel, and he said, "I don't like to believe in God because I was in the Holocaust, and if I believe in God, what character does God have?" And the other one was a rabbi, and he said something like, "You don't believe in God, you believe in God's help. And when God didn't help you, you stop believing in him." So I guess my question is, if you have any thoughts how to explain something like the Holocaust or big traumatic.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Very, very good question and tough question. I guess there's a field of philosophy called theodicy, to reconcile the divine with the existence of evil in the world. And I sometimes say that to come to a conclusion, on something, there are arguments on either side. And the argument for the non-existence of the divine in the face of evil in the world is like a strong argument in one sense, but it's not the only argument. There's arguments for the existence of God also, which in my mind weigh stronger. But, you know, I'm also from a Jewish background, and I just remember I think 2 years ago, I was sitting in my mother's living room, and my niece and sister-in-law were visiting. My niece is a very nice young lady, and she's quite intelligent. And, you know, somehow she asked me that about karma. She asked me that about karma. And, you know, she said, how do you explain it in terms of the Holocaust? So, for naturally, I was put in an awkward situation because, you know, everyone there is Jewish that was in there. But I just said, why just the Holocaust? It's not just one race that suffers. Everyone dies. Everyone. The way I try to explain it in terms of, you know, in a very practical way, because I give seminars in karma, I try to help people look back on the experiences they've had, the difficulties, and the internal growth that they inspired. And generally what you'll find is that people, they had to live it again, they wouldn't sacrifice the difficulties they got. They wouldn't sacrifice the growth they got for the difficulties that were caused to invoke it. And trying to help people understand that ultimately happiness is an internal thing that has to be somehow, our minds have to change. And just the external world and satisfying attachments, et cetera, whatever it is ultimately not going to make us happy. So somehow this change has to be invoked in consciousness, and the law of karma is somehow connected to it. And anyway, generally when I give class, I do mention the Holocaust and things, people are satisfied. They really can understand. I'm with Bhishma Dev's instructions. If you understand that there's a divine force to purify you and bring you to actual and ultimate state of happiness, not just a temporary one, and one that's filled with duality, if you see that and understand that it's an absolute force, can't do much about it, but that it's good, and therefore in any circumstance, if you bow down again and again, he said, if you do three things, you worship God, you respond with the appropriate principles, and you do so in guidance of the Vaishnava and Bhakti. There's no cause for despondency, he says, no matter how trying circumstances go, because it's an opportunity for growth. It's also a famous book by a Jewish psychologist called Viktor Frankl called The Search for Meaning. And he described how horrible it was. I mean, I practically couldn't read the book, but how he survived, because he looked at his life, and even psychologically, that the will of life and satisfaction more has to do with the meaning you find in life than what happens to you. And he found meaning in responding to his circumstances, investing in his free will rather than his destiny. So that what has to be reconciled. Prabhupada would sometimes deal with it, you know, if God was, you know, all powerful, then, you know, if God was all powerful, then, you know, why is there suffering? And Prabhupada said, God's greatness is that he didn't make you dead stone. Now you came here, why blame God? So ultimately what happens to us has to do with what's in us. And it comes to us to remove that. Because one can't be happy if there's modes and consciousness in the mind that are disharmonious with the soul, which is meant for pure love. The law of karma is somehow meant to remove that. Some people they just have that faith in God from the experience in their life, no matter how difficult it is. Their experience in life is that somehow God's there, if not externally, but internally. And it's even the same thing. People had doubts, by the way, how Iyengar left. And there was another god sister of mine, Ladini, who was preaching in Liberia and was executed. So there's no dearth of stories. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces. That's historical. So there's no dearth of information. It's a fact that there's suffering in this world and there's immense suffering. But ultimately we're the cause. And whatever comes to us is meant ultimately to make us happy, and the only way to make us happy is to invoke a internal change. And to do that, people sometimes require in their sojourn some heavy medicine. It's just like a boil. There's like a lot of pain, but the pain is to remove it. So things like that, that's how people look at it. You still there?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj. It's something that is very alive in me because my both parents went through the Holocaust as young children, so we always speak about and by brothers and kind of, I appreciate your answer. It looks like some people have like, they don't believe in God, but they take it very personally, the suffering they went through, and it's very interesting. So thank you for your answer. I'll think about it.
Yeah, it's just not an easy one. It's just not an easy one. Yeah, I'm just thinking, I'm talking like this, but hey, karmically, I can be put in a situation like that. It's not just impious people, there's pious people that suffer. And I was thinking of Iyengar. What would I do? And we can think of ourselves if we're in that room and, our faith is strong, we worship God, we preached it, then the door goes up in fire, you can't get out, and you realize you're stuck inside and there's no oxygen. And he must have been conscious. Yeah, he must have been. One second.
Okay,
no problem. Right, he must have been conscious that he was going to die. And was he? Hadst thou forsaken me? Or was it full faith? We assume it was full faith, but can I assume that I have full faith? Put yourself in that situation. Put yourself in that situation. It's tough. And we're all going to face it. Not just the Holocaust, we're all going to face the pain of death, which is more our attachments than anything else. Okay, thank you for that question. Anybody else like to say hello or ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, who's this?
Hare Krishna, this is Bhakta Carl.
Carl, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for the beautiful class and the really nice answer to the question.
Yeah, tough one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
Shyamarupa Das.
Oh, Shyamarupa, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
It was very good to hear from you the other day in Arlington.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming to the class. For those of you who don't know, Friday night I was in Arlington, which is basically Boston. You know, it's like maybe the next town over from Cambridge. It's basically all Boston, and I gave a seminar on the yoga of forgiveness. And Shyamarupa, he came there, and it's nice, very nice. Thank you. Anybody else like to say? You have a question, or anybody else like to say hello?
Haridol Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
Chaitanya Priya, thank you. Thank you. Great. And we'll pray that someday you'll be able to come back and be on the East Coast. I know you want that. It's kirtan's enlivening you, very enlivening, especially in Antina Chuta. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Jai Nitai here.
Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you. And let's see.
Are you open to a question?
I am, yeah. Sure.
My question has to do with how we should think about it goes back to sort of Rati's point about what's going on internally. And that's, so it's kind of like, yeah, how do we even question what's going on between a particular soul and Krishna? But how, as we devotees, do we look at the loss of great preachers? And I would just heard Carl, I think it's Mal Krishna Maharaj or Ayendra Prabhu. You know, these are people that could have done, like, amazing things in terms of spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement for decades to come. So how are we supposed to look at the loss of great devotees like that in terms of the preaching mission?
I just think of Vishnu's instruction. It's reasonable, but he says, it's very hard to understand the inconceivable will of the Lord. There's too many factors going on that we're not privy to.
Sure.
You're dealing with the individual person and their relationship with Krishna. You're dealing with how Krishna deals with the mission, and what's needed at different times. I mean, it's dealing with people's karma and what they require, for help. So it's not an easy one to understand, But, like I said at the beginning, I don't know if you're there, but with, when Vishnu John left, Andrew said, "We'll never be the same." They told the Kinshin, he said, and it was never the same. But at the same time, from Dishtijan came Ayendra. So,
sure.
It wasn't the same, but it was the same. And at least if I try to, the people you mentioned, in my own mind, I have some reasons and understandings why perhaps it was best at the time. Although it was so painful for us. In other words, either for the person or the separation mood that's created, people taking up legacies. But with Iandra, it legitimately may spark the Sankirtan revolution in even a greater way. As strange as it may say, and as inconceivable it is, if that feeling generated from him, in separation, and if people take his message seriously, and sometimes when someone's alive, they don't listen to him as seriously. They're inspired. If it takes it to another level, but. The loss of a great soul is always like chaotic. You can't. It's part of that person's glory. It's like a great sports star. When he leaves, if the team does just as well, what does it say about the person? Well, maybe his influence wasn't as much as we thought. So Krishna also glorifies that devotee in that sense. It's just a tough one.
Sure.
But, I don't know if we'll ever figure it out. We can individually, Right. I see with the Mal Krishna March so many problems and crises that he probably could have solved in a minute.
Right.
Give him the advice, wait, don't do that. It's not going to work, So, why? But anyway, other personalities become prominent and then, I guess he goes on. Okay. Thank you, Tiny Tom.
Thank you, Marsh.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Nice, Sangha. I can see it's so nice to hear from all the people that spoke up. And if anyone's around New York, I think the Sunday of August 14th or 15th, 6 p.m., I'm going to be giving another seminar in that Yoga Maya studio. Just to come see it is really a nice thing. Anybody's in town at that time. And the following week, August 20th, I think, or 21st maybe, we're going to have a 12-hour kirtan in Yoga Maya. So they're shifting 12-hour kirtans to different yoga studios. So it'd be nice, kind of like a neutral ground. We'll have the kirtan. And the Friday before, we're going to have a nice kirtan in Gop Kishore's in Kishore Radha. Anybody want to come down for the weekend? You can go to the Friday night kirtan and then maybe come into the city and enjoy that kirtan too, and then stay for Sunday and maybe see what's going on then. Okay, Hare Krishna. Bunch of hope with the reduced office.